This is HPR episode 1818 entitled, Review of HPR Interview Recorder, Zoom H1. It is hosted by 5150 and is about 26 minutes long. The summary is, HPR has a digital recorder. You are welcome to use it for interviews at your next tech event.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio, and what I want to do this evening is review the Zoom H1 digital portable recorder that belongs to HPR and was sent to me for the purposes of taking interviews at last week's Kansas Linux Fest. I was going to sort of roll this into one of the interviews, but I thought, there's probably enough here to do a video to do a review on its own. I think people mentioned H1 during podcasts before. I don't know if someone's done a standalone review of it. So I thought I'd go through all the controls. That way, the next person to use it would be more or less familiar, because it was fairly simple to suss out. There were a few things that I was sort of expecting that it turned out that I was looking for functions that were not actually present on the device. And what this is, it's about the size of a small remote control, and at the top, if you set it on a desk, it sits vertically, and at the top, there's two microphones, one pointing up at 45 degree angle, presumably at the interviewer, and the other one pointing the other way back at the interviewee. And I've listened to the MP3 recordings that I made, and really in not the most perfect environments. They weren't bad. They weren't ideal. We weren't in a sound studio. I thought it picked up everything I said and everything the interviewee said. You can find them online for about $100. I think this is the lowest price recorder in the Zoom line, and that's without accessories. You can, as I'm doing right now, I think everybody's had it before. It's got an SD card in it that you record to, and then they've taken the SD card out and put it in a card reader to actually extract the interviews from the storage. But I had a compatible mini USB cable, so I'm just going to include that in the package when I send it. Also, I'm going to put in a 32 gig SD card to replace the 2 gig one that was in there. That way you have two settings, record to MP3 and record to WAVE. So I figure 32 gigs, you're probably not going to fill that even with WAVE files over the course of a normal set of interviews. And did I mention that I'm using it tonight as a microphone, as I am speaking, instead of using the boom mic on my headset as I normally do to record these? This, the H1 is plugged in to the USB cable. Now it took a couple tries to get it to recognize, because what you do, you're supposed to plug it in, turned off, and then the record button toggles whether it's going to be used as a data connection, as a card reader, so you can read the contents of the card, edit, delete files, whatever. Or, if you toggle it with the record button, it becomes a digital USB mic. And since this came in the mail, I've been trying to justify buying one for myself. And I think I've just done it by discovering that this could be used as a digital mic. I'm going to have to see, because really I just sort of held it generally between me and the subject of my interview, and it picked up everything quite clearly. So I think sitting here on my desk, even with me moving my head around and looking in different directions, and it still seems to be, you know, picking things up clearly. Now I may regret my mic level settings in pulse audio volume control, because I was coming in way, way hot with the boom mic. And there seems to be a subtle difference between talking loud enough and not loud enough. I think it's picking it up. I think leveler will take care of it, but the audio is a little strange. That may explain why. That it doesn't take much difference in modulation of my voice. So I think if I increase the gain just a little bit, I don't know, it looks like gain's at 100% here looking at pulse audio volume control, but it's not, I guess it's not in Audacity. Let me move it up just a little bit. I'm not sure that made much difference. Maybe a little bit more, because I'm way less than 50%. No, I don't think that doesn't seem to be having... Changing the gain doesn't seem to be having much effect. So I think what I need to do is just speak a little more forcefully than I'm used to recording these podcasts. But the last time I bought a good USB mic, it was $60. So that's pretty close to the $100 I would pay for this one. And it was very, very directional. So... I'm going to have to see how this does. I may use it again in Mumble for podcasting before I send it back, and we'll see if everybody complains if I'm too low or too high during a Mumble chat. And I'll be doing that at the end of the week. And please let me know on the mailing list the next person that needs to have this device. However, I still haven't decided whether or not I want to go to Northwest Linux Fest at the end of next month. I really should make that kind of decision in the next week if I want to be able to get my flights and my rooms and all that kind of stuff. Before I say anything more about the H1, I did tell you on my last recording, and if you don't know which one that was, it was the one where I repeated my presentation that I gave at Kansas Linux Fest, because none of those were, well, mine definitely wasn't recorded, and apparently the ones that were recorded weren't usable, according to Mike DuPont. However, I don't think I meant to mention during the last podcast, and I didn't. I am demonstrably a complete idiot, because in my pocket, I had a perfect voice for recording audio, and all I had to do was set it on the table in front of me, and it would have picked up my voice, plus anybody in the audience who was asking questions. And there was a question and answer session. A lot of people were, well, I wouldn't say a lot, people who came to the talk, they seemed to have an interest in podcasting in general. A lot of them have said, or at least a couple of them, I wouldn't say a lot of them, at least one person said they hadn't found many Linux podcasts that they found very useful. It was above all server stuff and above their head. And I asked him, what podcast do you listen to? And he said, the Linux Action Show. And I'll leave that where it lies. I also mentioned, starting with the last recording I did, that I'm going to use some of these technical podcasts to clear the beer inventory out of my refrigerator. So I'm not just keeping that last beer out of a six-pack until I can do a 5150 Shades of Beer, because I don't want to fall back on those. I don't want you to be here, that show to be on every 2 weeks. But I also don't want to keep beer forever either. And I mentioned last night while I was recording that, of course, it's not last night for you, but the last time you heard me on HPR, that I bought a six-pack of this Occulto blue agave-infused beer, and I was a little concerned because I guess it wasn't last night, that night before last I recorded, I was a little concerned because I had traced some stomach upset to a blue agave sweetener that I had bought a while back, and it took me a while, but it was every time I used it, then the next day I did not feel well. Or it took me a few times to associate that. And I told you when I was recording that last podcast that I'd had one beer without seemingly any ill effects. Not that I particularly enjoyed the beer, but at least I wasn't sick. Well, last night I found out my limit on the Culto was two beers. And these were like hours apart. So I'm going to leave that lay where it may. I did take some time this morning to look up the relationship between agave sweeteners and stomach upset, and apparently I'm not the only person. It's interesting, you have all this bad press about high fructose corn syrup, and some of the things, and the websites I came to were anti-agave, and it's strange, I never had this problem drinking tequila, which of course is fermented from the agave plant. I think it's a different part. I think agave is a lot like a aloe vera plant. I think it's in the same family, and I think the nectar for tequila is actually taken from the leaves, and they said what they used for the sweetener actually comes from the berries, so I'm not sure if that's right. Apparently the agave sweetener is just as processed as high fructose corn syrup. The difference is white sugar is like 50% fructose. High fructose corn syrup is like 55%. And agave nectar is like 90% fructose. So I think it's more expensive to make, but they can get by with a lot less. And what's concerning me for the future is, you know, there's a lot of people these days who want to eat healthy, and they're completely against high fructose corn syrup, and some of them seem to be embracing agave sweeteners as an alternative. I hope in the future I don't have to be that guy who sits down in a restaurant and says, you know, orders a piece of cake or pie or something and says, no, you know, there's no agave in this, is there? I don't have to be that guy who has to read labels on all my food, but you know, I'm not the guy who gets to make those decisions. So we'll just see how that goes on down the road. Okay, beer that I am drinking tonight. So what I'll do is I'm going to do one now, and I'll do one at the end of the show. And show notes are going to be kind of sparse. I've got a link to the Zoom H1 page, a link to each of the beers pages, and there's a YouTube video which shows how to use the H1 as a microphone that I found. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have known how to turn it on without it. So apparently you do need to have the latest 2100 firmware, and I checked, that's on there, and obviously you can hear me, so it's working. Okay, so this beer has been open long enough to get warm because I've been sitting here futzing around with technology. Oh, I said I hate to keep jumping around here, and I'm not looking for recognition or anything on this, but I am including I found a cable, USB cable that works with the H1. That's going in the package with it. Also, if I didn't mention, it came with a 2 gig card, and I'm including a 32 gig card, which I still need to reformat, but it is recognized in the device, that full 32 gigs, so I don't think that should be a problem. And that will give whoever's using it the ability to record in WAV without having to worry about running out of space. I imagine 2 gig, you know, if you did hours of interviews like Lord D did at scale, wow, you guys see those come on. At least in numeric, I don't know how long they were, but Lord D did a lot of good work for us at scale. Thanks, man. A lot better than I got. I think the two interviews I got are that are upcoming are really good, but still, it was only two interviews. So, you know, compared to Ken Fallon and Lord D, I'm just a piker. How many? And I've only had part of a beer tonight, but how many jump cuts has this been for one podcast? I'm sorry, I'm giving you listeners whiplash. Back to the beer. It's a New Belgium Slow Ride Session IPA. And session means, it really doesn't mean much except it's relatively low in alcohol content. 4.5% by volume. That would put it in, you know, the upper range of your what's called lawnmower beers, you know. So, and I'm not advocating mowing the lawn after having a number of beers because that can lead to lost limbs. But that's just what some people tend to call. There's a real cool picture of like a sofa turned into a bicycle on the cover. It's or on the label. It's relatively bitter. It's 40 IBUs. I mean, that's not in the realm of my hops can beat up your hops, and it's not so high I like this beer. I'm not sure this would be my preference, but I didn't mind it at all. So it's not as bitter as a lot of IPAs I've had. Okay, and actually, letting it get warmer has brought out some of the more subtle flavors. I mean, again, one thing I don't like is an IPA that is just all hops and that's all you taste. Now, this beer does have other flavors, but they are, I warn you, somewhat subtle. There's definitely a little bit of fruitiness, and when you pour it, you're gonna smell that. It's a blonde ale, but it's maybe a little fruit, a little tarty. I'd also say a little smoky myself, as IPAs tend to be. So it's really not a bad beer, but if, like I said, it's from New Belgium. If it's sitting next there to an Abbey or 1554 or the Triple they have. You know, I'm going to grab one of those other ales first. But it's, you know, I'm, it's not like I'm sorry I bought the six-pack. Certainly not as sorry as I was buying the Oculto, for believe you me. Okay, so to the H1. So it's a very simple little device. Runs on a regular AA battery. I don't think, nothing about it has indicated that rechargeable batteries are an option. However, you know, it does apparently, when it's plugged into USB, run on the 5-volt rather than on the battery. It's got a battery meter on there, so it seems like, you know, I'm using the battery that was sent to me with, so unless somebody's changed it, it probably doesn't use a whole lot of battery. And the way you operate it, on the one side, it's got an SD card slot. It's a little hard for me to push out. It's one of these stick-on covers, not a door that slides up. I mean, it's like a weather cover. And you press it on one side, and it'll pop out. The only thing else on that side is output volume, and there's a speaker jack next to the output volume. Okay, on the back side, opposite from the LCD, we'll get to that, you've got the battery case. You've got three toggle switches. For a digital device, this device is surprisingly analog. And the ones to do with recording, I didn't mess with. I figured better people who know more about audio than I have had already set it to optimal settings, but there's a low cut offer on, an audio level offer on, and then a recording format, and you have WAV and MP3. And of course, WAV is a lossless, supposedly, format, and MP3 is compressed. And I'm turning this around in my hand. Doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference because of the two mics, which side of it I'm on. Okay, on the side opposite the battery case, it's sort of got like tape recorder-like functions. There's the power button, and you push it down and you hold it to turn it on. And once you start recording, you push the power button up to hold, and that disables all the other buttons, so you can't accidentally turn it off while you're recording. Now I'm going to start opposite from the power button. There's a line in, so you could use an external mic. Input level, so there's a gain on there. There's recording buttons. There's play, essentially play, pause, and then go to the previous track and go to the next track. So that was the function I was looking for earlier. I don't think there's a fast forward through tracks. It looks like next track, previous track, and there isn't any really indication on the LCD which track you're on. So you pretty much, to know which one it is, you have to let it play long enough to listen to it. And if you decide that you want to recover that space, there's a trash can, a delete button. All right, come around the other side, and the only two things on what I would want to call the front side are an LCD, an LED, and when it's on, you know, I can see my input level as I speak into it. There's a record button. See, oh, okay, yes. It of course, the recording rate is determined by whether it's MP3 or wave, so that's on there. Battery indicator, and since it's plugged into USB, it says USB. If you were to use this in the field to record, it's as simple as turning it on. You turn around and make sure LED will light up. Like it says LCD, but it's not LCD like a display. You know, it's the predefined things built into. I mean, it's not like you watch video on this LCD. But you hit record, and the screen will change color. The background will change color, and say it's recording. And when you're done recording, you hit record again to stop. And if you start and stop another recording, that's another audio file. Real simple to use. Again, if you want to use this as a microphone, now I had to play with it a little because the first time I plugged it into USB and hit record to toggle, it showed it set up as recorder, but Pulse Audio Volume Control didn't recognize it. So I switched back to USB, and then I hit the record button again, and then suddenly I had another recording device in Pulse Audio Volume Control. So that's how we made that work. If I can use this as a recording device, I can justify buying one for myself. I don't know where I would, you know, other in the context of Hacker Public Radio, I would be doing recordings, but it's just such a cool device to have. I mean, when we were doing recordings, I was surprised because, you know, I'd seen a picture of this from other podcasts that people had mentioned that they'd used this exact, you know, the HPR recorder. So I was aware of sort of what it looked like. And so if I'd been out in the field and seen one holding it, I would have known exactly what it was. But, you know, I had a dozen people come up to me during the record, you know, during our recordings and asking what that was and what we were doing. So, you know, there was a lot of interest in this little device. Now, internally, it must run some sort of software. I don't know if it's running. I don't know if it's running an operating system as such, and if it is, if it's open source. I tried to look something up on that and couldn't find anything. Okay. Oh, no, we're not done. I haven't done my second beer yet. This is another New Belgium. This is Portage. It's a porter. And the label art, and New Belgium's pretty good about this, appears to be a rowboat in a wheelbarrow. All right. This pour is dark brown, so a caramel brown head. Again, I don't think this is very high in. This is higher than the slow ride. This is 6%. So this is getting into the range where you maybe want to be a little careful. And rather than having typing out my long description, said I'm just including the links to the brewer pages for this. Let's see, definite chocolate notes in the aroma. Maybe a little coffee. Okay, biscuity. That's a term that we use when something tastes bready. I'm kind of cheating. I've got the New Belgium page open, but definitely they say toast. So I don't know enough to differentiate between biscuity and toast. And you know, if it has a bready flavor, you're going to hear me say biscuity. And yeah, and smoked almonds. I might not have recognized that flavor unless they pointed it out to me. But yeah, that's definitely in there. Let's see. Yeah, and the description's right. Finishes fairly dry. And it's a little thick. I wouldn't say creamy. They say creamy. Definitely has some mouthfeel to it, but I'm not sure I would call it creamy. Okay. IBU 38%. So, you know, you set these two beers side by side, you would swear the low ride was, or slow ride, was far more hoppy than the Portage, and they're right the same. This is what I was talking about beforehand, on one of the podcasts. I guess this is back to the second review I did of River City Brewing Company. I mean, in an IPA, you taste the hops a lot more than in a porter or an ale, where it's mixed in with so many other flavors. Malts are pale, Munich, black, and chocolate. Well, of course, that's why you have the chocolatey taste. Hops are Target and Nugget. Yeast is ale yeast. As I said, I've used 38, 6% ABV. And let's see, I forgot, so we'll go back and look at the beer facts on the slow ride. Again, its ABV was 4.5%. IBU was 40. Yeast, ale yeast again. Hops, Amarillo, Citra, Mosaic, Simcoe, Nelson Sauvignon, Target, Centennial, and Cascade. And the malts are pale. Okay, I really enjoyed both these beers. If someone give me a choice, I definitely prefer the Portage by quite a bit. And as always, I've been 5150 for Hacker Public Radio. Have yourselves a good rest of the day, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.